Numbers chapter number 14. All right, Numbers chapter 14. Let's get serious. This is, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come to this place and we can sing together, we can pray together, we can fellowship together. We thank you, O God, that we can be an encouragement one to another, and yea, Lord, to provoke one another into good works. We pray that you might bless in these few moments. You have said there's power in preaching. And so we seek that this morning. We pray, Spirit of God, that you would take control, bless in every heart, give us listening ears, understanding hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I asked the question this morning, what do you fear? What do you fear? The children of Israel had witnessed the 10 mighty plagues that came upon Egypt. They had seen the parting of the sea, and they watched as the army of Pharaoh was drowned by the same waters that were a wall for them. They saw the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, and his tremendous power displayed at Mount Sinai. But when they come to Kadesh Barnea and send the 12 spies into the land, 10 come back and say, they're giants in the land. And we find that their faithless fear gripped their hearts, and they forgot about God's promises and his presence. And we notice here they were ready to give up. However, there were two men amongst them that hadn't lost sight of God, and they feared to walk away from his protection. In these 9-10 short verses, we have the elements. Listen to this carefully. We have the elements of the wrong kind of fear and the right kind of fear. There is a right kind and a wrong kind of fear. And we need to understand that. Let's get very practical for a moment and consider this. Does your fear of God outrank your fear of COVID? Do not take me wrong in this. Does it outrank it? Which fear directs your actions the most? The one that gives you comfort is the one we call fear of God. And the other rewards with trembling. They are opposing in their philosophy. Listen to what it says in Psalm 55. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Yet in chapter 112, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. I believe this morning there is a godly fear, but there's also what we might call a manly fear. There's the fear of God, and there's the fear of man, and there's a fear of many other things. But I want us this morning to stop and consider the seven attributes of the fear of God. First of all, the fear of God is a gift from him. It's a gift, really. Think about it. Genuine fear of God accompanies real conversion, and it comes from receiving the Spirit and yielding to him. Listen to this, what the Bible says about our Savior. It says in Isaiah 11, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Isn't that interesting? It says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and part of that Spirit, it says, of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Interesting that God would tell us that about the Lord Jesus Christ, a prophetic message from Isaiah. And you and I need to understand, that was a gift of God to the Son of God. And a part of that gift, the Spirit of God and the fear of God. God is involved in you and I having the proper kind of fear. Listen to what the Philippians say. In chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, says, "Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," he says, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God has given us this wonderful gift of fear. You say a gift of fear? When it's a fear of God, yes. It is different. It's not that which brings horrible thoughts and gives us that trembling within us. It is that which brings us in a position, as I'll mention a few moments, of awe. The fear of God also produces godly humility. Consider, when you and I are in awe of him, it is seeing him as greater than all. The Bible says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." How you and I will have a different outlook upon ourselves when we see him. He desires this kind of attitude, this attitude of humility, as we see how great he is and how lowly we are, and we see that great gulf and yet his love to us, and it gives us all within, and it helps us understand, hey, he is mighty, and we have a fear of that might in the way of judgment and so forth. But when you and I have that godly humility, it's that which he desires from us. Isaiah 66, verse 2 says, "For all those who hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." That's the kind of attitude God's looking for. And there are blessings from this kind of attitude. Proverbs 22:4 says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." This kind of fear that produces godly humility keeps us from thinking too highly of ourselves. And it also keeps us from having a haughty spirit toward others. Interesting how all this works together. The fear of God produces a godly humility. Thirdly, the fear of God instills within us obedience. How many of you had parents that whipped your hind end if you did wrong? If you couldn't raise your hand, I feel sorry for you. Say you do, yeah. There's something about the fear of the rod that causes us to go in the right direction. That's why God told us in the book of Proverbs to use it. Listen, you and I this morning, when we know that we must give an account of ourselves to Him, it will change our behavior. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse number 9 says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Knowing therefore, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. He's not talking to the sinner, he's talking to the saint. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." You and I understand something. When we have to give an account of ourselves, we're more likely to obey the person we're afraid of. Moses understood that connection between fear and obedience. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalms. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Moses, who gave us those commandments, understood this very well. The fear of God produces a godly humility. The fear of God, we find, is a gift from God. The fear of God instills obedience. It does something else. It gives to you, it develops within you a godly courage. Now think about what we read here in the book of Numbers. We find, we have to go back a chapter, we find that there were these 12 spies that were sent out. 10 come back. They're afraid of the people of the land. They're not fearing God, but they're fearing the people in the land. They're fearing man. But we find something took place in the life of Joshua and Caleb. And that is that God had developed within them a godly courage. They believed God. David expressed it well in Psalm 27. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." He's talking about two different fears here. But he's saying, "Who should I fear?" And he says, "The Lord is my strength." And then he says, because that is so, he does not fear man. When you fear God more than man, listen to this, when you fear God more than man, you will fear man less than God. And then you are in dangerous territory. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Of power, the powerful kind of fear. It was this courage that caused them to respond, as we read in the book of Acts, when they were told not to speak in His name any longer, and they said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." There is a courage that develops when we have fear of God. When we fear God, we understand His strength and His might. We understand that when we trust Him, that we have Him, we could say, at our back. And He is the one that will take us through. I believe the fear of God also helps us in another area, and that is to avoid sin. The fear of God helps us to avoid sin. I remember the incident very well. I was walking along the back side of the high school. My daddy was the janitor at that high school, and I did not see him. And we were walking along on the back side, and me and another guy, and we were talking. And we were not saying nice things. We were cussing, and our language wasn't too good. And I looked up, and I saw my dad. I thought to myself, I'm dead. I'll tell you what. As a lost person, I watched this potty mouth after that. Because I had a fear of saying the wrong thing if my daddy was near. See what happened to you? He didn't hear me. Or I might not be standing here today. The fear of God helps us to avoid. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. There's a colon that goes on to explain, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When you are afraid of the judgment of God, it has an effect upon you. There are folks today who say, well, I don't believe that folks ought to be put to death for crime. By the way, do you know there's 16 crimes listed in the Word of God where God says that they should take them out and stone them until they're dead? 16 different offenses. What that does is put a fear of God into their lives that they might not do those things because they do not want to die. It has an effect. And you and I need to understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The fear of God helps us to avoid sin. Sixthly, the fear of God builds godly leadership. Think about this for a moment. We go back to Exodus chapter 18. Moses, under instructions from his father-in-law, and I believe also through that God was speaking to him. And so he's going to seek out some men to help in leadership. And in verse 21 it says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. Would our nation be different if we had such a rule of choosing our leaders? I think so. He understood that having that fear of God brings about a godly leadership. Jehoshaphat, I believe, knew this very well, knew this as well. In 2 Chronicles 19, the Bible says he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, and take heed and do it, for there's no iniquity with the Lord our God, no respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and the priests and the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. The fear of God builds godly leadership. It was necessary for the choosing of the leaders, and it ought to be necessary yet today. Those who have a fear of God don't abuse their authority or take advantage of others. because they understand they are also themselves under the authority of God, and he will judge them if they are unfaithful in their leadership. And lastly, I would like to say this, the fear of God, I believe, leads us to loving him more. The fear of God leads us to loving him more. Listen to these words in 1 John. It says, we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. We're talking about the fear of man. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear, that kind of fear, hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We have a fear of God. We look unto him, and as we look unto him, we seek, or we see the love of God, and it comes and dwells within us. And it builds it within each of us. The fear of God, it's healthy. It's healthy. I think we have a wrong idea of it sometimes. I think sometimes we think that the fear of God is, we use big words. And we use other explanations. But fear is fear. And we realize how great God is and how minute we are. It gives us a holy perspective of him and a realization that we better do it his way. It changes our course. I asked the question a while ago. In this last year, which fear has changed you the most? The fear of God or fear of COVID? Again, don't misunderstand. I'm not discounting it one bit. If we feared God, I think we can understand the fear of disease. I think we can understand the fear of those kinds of things that bring harm. But can we not understand that the fear of God ought to be so much greater? It will lead us in the way of righteousness. It will lead us to become leaders. It will lead us away from sin. It's a gift from Almighty God. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you, O God, for your word. Thank you for these two men that had a fear of you that was greater than fear of man. O God, that we might have that developed in our lives. O God, throughout my life I've feared so many things, sometimes more greatly than you. And that wasn't good. And I pray that you would develop that more and more in my life and the lives of your people. Perhaps there's one here today that has never, ever really had a fear of you. Some men boast they're afraid of nothing. They need to be afraid of you because how great you are. Or maybe somebody in this room needs salvation. They need to realize that you are a judging God and we will not get away from sin. I pray, oh God, you work in their heart, they be saved. Blessed in these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. One bit. But if we feared God, I think we can understand the fear of disease. I think we can understand the fear of those kinds of things that bring harm. But can we not understand that the fear of God ought to be so much greater? It will lead us in the way of righteousness. It will lead us to become leaders. It will lead us away from sin. It's a gift from Almighty God. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you, O God, for your word. Thank you for these two men that had a fear of you that was greater than fear of man. O God, that we might have that developed in our lives. O God, throughout my life I've feared so many things, sometimes more greatly than you. And that wasn't good. And I pray that you would develop that more and more in my life and the lives of your people. Perhaps there's one here today that has never, ever really had a fear of you. Some men boast they're afraid of nothing. They need to be afraid of you because how great you are. Or maybe somebody in this room needs salvation. They need to realize that you are a judging God and we will not get away from sin. I pray, O God, you work in their heart, they be saved. Bless in these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.